Next case is Porter v. Ford Motor Company, case 18-8028. Counsel, we're ready to hear you.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court, opposing counsel, my name is Vincent Marable. I'm here with Vance Countryman, my co-counsel. This is a single-issue appeal of a 12B6 dismissal of Ms. Porter's wrongful death claims asserted under Wyoming law as barred by the statute of limitations. There is a two-year statute of limitations for filing wrongful death claims under Wyoming law, and that's the 138-102 statutory provision. That provision says that the only person that may assert the claim is the wrongful death representative. There is a separate statutory provision, which is the statutory provision that this case turns on, and that is 138-103, and it contains the procedure for the appointment of the personal representative. 138-103 also contains a statutory tolling provision, which tolls the statute of limitations from the time that the action is filed for the appointment of the wrongful death representative until 30 days after the order of appointment.
And counsel, on that point, was the proceeding that was started and to which the later request for appointment of substitute attorney in fact or attorney ad litem essentially that was brought, was it brought originally as a petition to appoint the special representative, or was it brought on a merits case, or both?
The answer to the question is, here's the procedure.
I understand the procedure, but I want to know what action was commenced.
And I didn't answer your question correctly, Judge Lazaro. When I said procedure, what I wanted to indicate to you was factually what happened to answer your question. Mr. Richardson dies 2 years before, you know, if you measure out 2 years from that date, before the statute runs, Mr. Countryman files a petition in Campbell County. It's not a merits petition. It's not the wrongful death lawsuit. It's the 138.
It is the appointment.
Yes. And the reason is because you cannot file the wrongful death lawsuit until you get the appointment.
Right.
So he files that. That starts the tolling period. We run through that proceeding in Campbell County. We get the order of appointment. The wrongful death lawsuit is then filed in federal district court because of diversity of jurisdiction within 30 days.
Is that also filed within the 2 years? It certainly was filed within the statutory tolling period, but was it also filed within the two-year period?
No, it was filed within the statutory tolling period.
All right, now just a couple of other questions. The case number that was assigned to the first proceedings was what? Now, this is a real technical question. Like when I started these proceedings, I said this case is 18-8028. What was the number of that proceeding?
CV-036656.
That's the Campbell County case.
Oh,
that is
thank
correct.
You, Judge McHugh.
Thank you, Judge McHugh.
You should thank Judge McHugh as well. Because when you went back and filed the substitution or the correction or whatever you called it, you used that same number, right?
That is correct.
Now, you didn't start another proceeding. You had the same proceeding.
That is true. And the Campbell County, Wyoming District Court treats it as all one case under the same cause number, same docket sheet, same order, same style, all the way through. They do not treat it as different
proceedings. Case.
That is correct.
But the merits court did, correct?
That is true.
Thanks.
But there was a second petition.
There was an amended petition. There was not a, I wouldn't call it a second petition. I call it an amended petition because he was amending who the party was they were requesting to be appointed the wrongful death
representative. And what you're arguing to us is these hyper technical people, the merits court, goes off on these hyper technicalities, and instead of saying, oh, this was the same proceeding, they're trying to make it sound like it's, oh, this is some different proceeding and you didn't file that one in time.
That is what Judge Johnson said in the district court. He said that the amended petition that we are talking about, right, he said that that was not properly filed because it was not timely. That's on page 11 of his opinion, where he says that the second one was not properly filed.
But courts substitute parties all the time, right, is your argument, that they substitute parties in civil proceedings. They substitute parties on appeal. We have a change of attorney general, and all of a sudden it isn't so-and-so versus Sessions. Now it's so-and-so versus somebody else.
Plaintiffs die. Defendants die. You have suggestions of death. You have reorganizations. I mean, it is certainly not something which is uncommon. Even in probate cases, your independent executor may decline, and so you got to go to your successor independent executor, or you have to ask the court to appoint a dependent administrator. Right. But these things change. It's still the same lawsuit. It's still the same cause number, and it all relates to the central issue.
Right. But what you're saying to us, and just if I could summarize your case, and have my colleagues some time here, is what you're saying is, hey, this hyper-technicality is having a real effect of us not being able to prosecute a legitimate substantive claim because of these hyper-technicalities that Judge Johnson applied in throwing us out of court.
The answer to that is yes, and I want to explain it a little further, and then Judge McHugh, I saw that you were trying to ask a question.
So did I.
The whole statutory setup under 138.103 talks about this as a procedural device to get you to the wrongful death representative, because you can never get to the wrongful death case. They do not have a case they can file against Ford until I can get to the appointment of the wrongful death representative. And the statute repeatedly says in multiple places that irregularities in the method and manner of the appointment are not going to be jurisdictional. And it says we're only going to have one of these and you can't appeal from it, which means this is what the state district judge was doing. He was trying to find the most appropriate person and he did that. And this is not supposed to be something which they can bounce you on jurisdictionally once you file your lawsuit. The actual appointment can't even be appealed. Judge McHugh, I'd like to answer whatever question you have.
The statute's pretty clear that what you should have done was file a motion to intervene, right? Mm-hmm. The Wyoming statute.
I'll answer that question by saying the statute provides a right to intervene.
But it doesn't file any right to file multiple petitions for appointment of a representative.
You are correct. It does not contain language which says you may amend the petition. That is correct. And that's why we get to the issue that is there any substantive distinction here between the amended petition and an intervention by Ms. Porter?
Well, to some extent, what you're arguing is that the court should have treated it in substance as if it were a motion to intervene rather than being hung up on the name of the document.
I think the direct answer to that is that the federal district court should have done that, because the state district court, when it looked at the amended petition, it apparently had no problem. I am sure that if the state district court had looked at Mr. Countryman and said, hey, you cannot do this by amended petition, you need to do it by intervention, he would have done the intervention on by Ms. Porter. By the time we get to the federal district court and they're arguing that the first filing is a nullity, that's an argument that we made to federal district Judge Johnson that, you know, really there's no difference between the amended petition and an intervention, and so you can't bounce us on treating the first one as a nullity.
Go ahead. Finish yours. If the first one's a nullity, the other one's out of time, isn't it?
That would be true. And that's why Judge Johnson, to get to the result that he did, he held the first one was a nullity, and then the second one was filed outside of the 2-year period. That's the analysis.
It's basically a collateral attack on the state court proceedings.
And I need to answer that question because that's
My question is a little bit past all of these. Assume we disagree with you and we don't treat it as an intervention, which the statute clearly provides for, and we say, well, it actually was an amended petition in the same case, relates to the same case. Do we have, under the statute, a timeliness question about whether it relates back if we treat it as an amended petition instead of an intervention?
The answer is no.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, the only thing that matters for tolling is, when did you file the action? It was filed before the 2 years. Did you sue in federal district court within 30 days of the appointment?
So your answer is if it was properly filed, which I understand their argument on that, if it was properly filed, that's the date that matters. And whether it was an amended petition or an intervention doesn't make any difference as long as it was properly filed. That instant, that first date matters.
Correct.
Okay.
That is the answer to your question. I'd like to answer your question, Judge Lucero, about the collateral attack. There is a case cited by Ford Motor Company. It is the Halliburton case. Halliburton tried it, and this was before the 138-103 was passed. It became effective July 31st, 2012. Used to, in Wyoming, you had to go to probate court to get the appointment of the wrongful death representative. Halliburton tried to intervene into that probate proceeding and then tried to challenge the appointment of the wrongful death representative. The Wyoming Supreme Court said that is a prohibited collateral attack on the appointment. And it said the only way that you can make a collateral attack is if the appointment or the order of the court facially shows lack of jurisdiction. And so they said, Halliburton, you can't make this attack. The statute itself forecloses the jurisdictional attack because it says irregularities in the manner and method of appointment are not jurisdictional. So you have both a prohibited collateral attack and you have inability to make the jurisdictional argument because of the language of the statute. I will stand for any questions and reserve the rest of my time.
All right. Thank you. We'll reserve your time. Counsel, ready to hear from you. You've been patiently waiting 13 minutes for your turn, and here it is.
May it please the court, Katie Wellington for Ford Motor Company. Porter filed suit in Texas 6 months after the accident occurred. She filed suit in Oklahoma a year and a half after that. She did not file this suit in Wyoming until 6 months after that. Her suit in Wyoming is plainly out of time. Porter did not comply with the plain, clear requirements for tolling under Wyoming law.
Well, let's talk about plain language.
Sure.
I'm looking at the Wyoming statute that says if an action to appoint the wrongful death representative is properly filed, the limitation period under Section 138.102D shall be tolled from the time the action is filed until 30 days after an order appointing the wrongful death representative is entered. You would concede she filed within 30 days of her appointment as the representative.
That's correct.
And no representative other than Ms. Porter was ever appointed.
That's correct.
Why wasn't the statute of limitations told until there was a representative appointed?
So if you look at Section 103B1, it states that once an appointment action has been filed, no subsequent action for appointment
no
may be
No subsequent action was filed.
Maintained.
We have one case number. We have one action.
So the Wyoming Supreme Court has made clear that for a party to intervene in an action, they must file a motion to intervene. Rule 24 explicitly states for intervention.
This wasn't an intervention. He filed an amended petition.
So if this is an amended petition, there are four reasons why it does not relate back under Wyoming law and why it is not an amended petition.
There's nothing about relating back. The way the tolling provision is written is action filed, toll until 30 days after representative appointed. I'm not really concerned about what happened between point A and point B, and I'm not sure that the relation back from the rules of civil procedure applies here at all. We have a tolling question. It's a statutory question.
Well, let me start first with the amended petition. So Rule 15 explicitly states that a party, Rule 15A, may amend its filing, its own filing. Porter, to the extent that she was amending something, was not amending her own filing. So she was not prohibited, or she was prohibited from amending Countryman's filing. It is clear.
Well, Countryman was her attorney, right?
So that's not correct. At the time Countryman filed his appointment action, he stated that he was representing the decedent. He did not state that he was representing Porter at that moment.
Okay. They're both either in her capacity, hopefully as a representative, or his capacity. They're both standing in the shoes for the decedent, correct?
So I'm not sure that's correct. They were each seeking their own appointment as the wrongful death representative. I think that they were the party, separate parties in interest seeking different relief. And I think that's one of the reasons why the state court judge was concerned about Countryman serving as the wrongful death representative.
Counsel, I want to move you back to the state court proceedings. There was a state court proceeding for appointment. And the state court judge appoints X. And later, there is a motion to substitute X for Y. What difference does it make in terms of the statute? The statute at the time of the filing of the merits complaint was timely. All this is a collateral attack on the state court appointment of Y. And, you know, I'm sorry I don't see it your way. By doing it the way that Judge Johnson did, he short-circuited the merits of the case, the substantive rights of the parties. All he does is he gets into this hyper-technical little legalistic dance about whether this is a petition to amend or whether it's an intervention or whatever he viewed as the appropriate way to proceed, which is totally irrelevant. The state court chose the way to proceed, and it substituted X, Y for X. Why is this case any more than an attack on the state court's action on the part of Judge Johnson in the federal proceedings?
So two answers to that. The first answer is we are not collaterally attacking Porter's appointment. We are attacking the fact that she filed her wrongful death suit in an untimely manner. As a defendant in that wrongful death suit, we certainly are entitled to raise that challenge.
Well, did X file it in an untimely manner? Under my scenario?
So
was the filing untimely at the time that X filed it?
So I take your hypothetical to be that where a party files an action on the merits, a wrongful death suit, in a timely fashion,
yes,
and then the wrongful death representative is later substituted.
Yes.
Courts have held that relates back to the initial timely filed wrongful death suit. The problem in this case is there was no timely filed wrongful death suit.
Sure there was. Porter filed within 30 days of being appointed as the only representative ever appointed for this estate. Is that fair?
That is correct.
Okay. Under the tolling statute, if she files within, once the action filed for appointment of a representative, you've got 30 days after a representative is appointed. It's impossible to file under Wyoming law a complaint against Ford Motor Company without the appointment of a representative, correct?
That's correct.
So under your view, the tolling statute would run before any representative is ever appointed, and the defendant would be immunized from suit because it took some period of time to sort out who should be the representative?
So there are two answers to that. The Wyoming legislature created a clear process to address that, which is the intervention process. It says if you want to take advantage of tolling after someone has filed an action for appointment as the wrongful death representative, you have to file a motion.
It doesn't say that. It does not say you have. That's the only way. It simply says this is a way you can do that.
So
it doesn't say anything about it being the only way.
So I think it does make clear that if you want to participate, you have to intervene. If you look at Section 103B1, it says once an appointment action has been filed, no subsequent action for appointment may be maintained.
So no subsequent action was maintained here. This was an action, an amended petition filed in the same action.
So it's as I wanted to get into here, there are four reasons why this was not an amended petition.
Just give us one good one. I don't care if there's
But
ten.
Wyoming treated it as a proper filing, and the Wyoming court, given its own understanding of Wyoming law, appointed Ms. Porter as the representative of the estate. How can we now, the Tenth Circuit, come in and say, Wyoming court, you don't understand your own statutes, and this is a bogus appointment of a representative? I mean, you're asking us to collaterally attack the Wyoming court's appointment of Ms. Porter as the representative because we now think that she didn't properly comply with the procedures.
So two answers to that. The first is that federal courts bear a duty to decide questions of state law when necessary to render a judgment. So this court has a duty to interpret and apply Wyoming state law. The second answer is that the Wyoming Supreme Court frequently looks at what the state courts do and say, if you did something incorrectly, we're going to look at what should have been done, and we're going to say that that's what happened here. So if you look at the Nation case, in that case,
who did you say could do it? The Wyoming Supreme Court.
We're
not the Wyoming Supreme Court.
Well, you are.
I'm sorry. Maybe you should have intervened in the Wyoming State Court proceedings and made all of these arguments to the Wyoming State Judge.
So we are not permitted to intervene in the Wyoming State Court proceedings. This is our only opportunity.
Because you don't even have an interest in that proceeding.
We don't have an interest in who is appointing as the wrongful death representative. We do have an interest in whether Ms. Porter timely filed her suit. We have standing. We have an
Remember I asked that simplistic little question of counsel to make a point, to give me his case number of the state court proceedings. Why don't you give me the case number of the federal court proceedings that were filed?
Okay.
And the date of that filing.
Well, so the federal court proceedings were filed on August 7th, 2017.
And was that within 30 days of the appointment of the representative?
That was.
Thank you. I don't see any other thing that's relevant.
So I wanted to get into a couple of key Wyoming Supreme Court cases here. So in the Nation case, the Wyoming Supreme Court looked at a lower state court that had granted intervention where no motion to intervene had been filed. The same is true in the School District Number 9 case. In both of those cases...
These are not appointment of representative cases, right?
I think they're...
This is general intervention, and whether under the federal rules you're supposed to file a motion to intervene in order to intervene.
Those cases are actually under Wyoming's rules for intervention, which are directly applicable here because the Wyoming legislature explicitly stated.
The Wyoming court chooses to exercise its discretion and to accept the amended petition for appointment of a guardian in the same action, the only action that was ever filed for an appointment of a guardian, is it our role to swoop in and say that it was inappropriate for you not to hold them to the absolute strict compliance with the Wyoming Rules of Civil Procedure?
So this court is sitting in diversity. It's applying Wyoming law, and it's applying Wyoming's rules of statutory interpretation.
We're applying Wyoming law in that we are trying to figure out whether the statute ran here. That's what we're looking at. And doing that, we're looking at the tolling provision here. And the tolling provision makes it pretty darn clear from its plain language to me that they had 30 days from the appointment of the representative to file this complaint, and that they did it.
So if this court were to accept that interpretation of Wyoming law, it would render a nullity both the intervention requirement and the single action requirement of the Wyoming wrongful death statute.
If I may, first, since we're going to be really hyper-technical, number one, I don't think this is an intervention action, and I think technically you're wrong that this was not an intervention. Technically, I think what it was at the Wyoming state court level was a petition or a motion for substitution of the named party. And that's essentially what the Wyoming called. They called it an amended petition. I don't think it was an amended petition. I think it was a motion to substitute.
So I would direct...
And so kind of that's kind of from where I sit. And kind of what where you stand depends on where you sit, I realize. But from where I sit, that's just the way I see it, procedurally.
So I would direct, Your Honor, to the Richardson Associates case, where the Wyoming Supreme Court explicitly held that where a new party was added outside of the limitations period,
this is
it
not
did
a
not
new party.
Relate back.
This is a substituted party.
So there's no way to substitute a plaintiff and meet the limitations period in Wyoming under the Richardson Associates case.
This is a very different situation. The party here is the decedent. And we're just talking about who gets to represent the decedent in the action. So there's no change in who the real party in interest here is. It's always going to be the decedent.
So I think when you're looking at an appointment action, the real party in interest is who is seeking the appointment. When you get to the actual wrongful death suit...
My view differs just very slightly from Judge McHugh. The real party is the estate of the decedent, and it's the estate that brought the proceedings through the representative. There's been no substitution of party. The party is the estate of the decedent, and that is who brought the proceedings, and that is who continues to maintain the proceedings until they were unceremoniously booted out of court by Judge Johnson.
Whole point of the statute clearly is it's set up so that there can be multiple individuals who may say, I am going to be the personal representative, or I'd like to be the personal representative. And then the court chooses among these personal representatives. That's the whole point. And that's what happened here. Except that the court even specifically said, yeah, I don't think you're going to be the right person to the lawyer, Mr. Countryman, and you'll need somebody else. In comes someone else. The court chooses that person. First of all, Ford doesn't have an interest in any of that. They're not a beneficiary. They're not an heir. What it seems to me, everything was consistent with what the statute requires here, except apparently the technicality that it wasn't filed as a motion to intervene, but the statute doesn't seem to require that it has to be a motion to intervene.
May I answer the question?
Please. And we don't mean to... I think you're from D.C., correct?
I am.
I don't mean to give you a hard time because you're from D.C. I don't want you to go home and think you've been hometown.
He's just a country lawyer.
We don't want you to think you've been hometown. But, yes, please, go ahead.
It's not our hometown.
Yeah. Just to answer your question, the Wyoming legislature set forth a clear process for how this was supposed to work. It was not complied with in this case. The Wyoming Supreme Court, in a series of cases, including Corkle, including the Nation case, including the Richardson case, looked at the precise text of the statutes and the rules to determine how things were supposed to work. Where compliance with a condition precedent is not technically perfect, it has not been met under Wyoming law. There was no compliance in this case. Porter's suit is untimely.
Thank you, counsel. And your time has expired. If I give you any more, then I've got to give him more. It's going to be Zeno's paradox. We'll never get there.
May it please the court. I'm going to return my time to the panel. Unless there's any questions that y'all have of me, I'll be happy to answer.
We appreciate your ceding the remainder of your time. Thank you, counsel. Counsel are excused. The case is very well presented. I compliment you both. And we turn to the last.